greater afflicted. I mean, it was he had some guy I never heard of. Finally untalented.
Earlier today, we were listening through a tape of that little thing you did the other day about his military guest.
Yeah.
That's quite funny.
Well, anyway. So I'm all kind of jangled today anyway. And so I was coming in here, and I listened. I had Rush on for a couple of seconds, and I realized I just couldn't stand it. And so I flipped over to 91.3, which is the University of Hartford station, and they had this very pleasantly mesmerizing, droning, I assume, sitar music on.
Very nice.
So I'm listening to it, and I'm just totally cooling out for the first time all day. You know, I just got a million things. I got just spiders running around in my head, and for the first time all day.
What seems to be the problem?
There's no one particular thing. There's just a lot of little things that are kind
anything,
of not under control.
Anything you'd care to share?
No, not really. So,
a little snippy about that, aren't we?
Well, I just,
you know,
I,
you,
if
we
I
could, are your friends
yeah.
here. Your
if
friend.
I could share it in an entertaining way, if I could find an entertaining way to talk about it, I would. But I just, I can't really think. But, you know, mainly, I just needed a little moment in my car on the way over here.
Okay.
Cool out. So I get the sitar music on.
Mm-hmm. I think we got that point. Yeah.
And I'm just totally, for the first time
relaxing.
All day, relaxing and chilling out. Then the phone rings, and it's Curry. And he's in his car, and he's got our station on. And he doesn't usually listen. He's one of these people who doesn't usually listen to the Rush Limbaugh show. And as a result, if you listen to it every day, you don't ever get too outraged because you just know that he's a screaming hypocrite. And it just doesn't, you know. But Curry, because he doesn't usually listen to the Rush Limbaugh show, is getting really angry. And so he's saying, I don't believe what I'm hearing. You know, in a nation driven to its knees by hypocrisy, Rush Limbaugh still stands out as an unusually hypocritical person. I mean, what's he doing right now? He's convicting Sandy Berger on the first day of any suggestion that this guy's done anything wrong in the absence of any dispositive evidence. He's convicting this guy. He's saying he's guilty. This is the same guy who's been whining all year that, you know, that he shouldn't be convicted in the press for his drug addiction and all of which is perfectly valid, but I was listening to sitar music, cooling myself out.
Uh-huh. You don't seem to find, apparently, that Mr. Curry's voice and tone is that of a soothing...
No, and, you know, I don't need to be, like, front-loaded with a lot of outrage about hideous fathead Rush, and he's just like a... You know, it's like a fact of my life that every day I have to go on the air after Rush. I mean, I don't need to be informed about how horrific and stupid Rush is. I know that. And I was listening to... I'm feeling so much peace right now.
I'm trying to understand the sitar music thing. I would think that would be more annoying than listening to Rush.
No? It was putting me in a very hypnotic kind of chilling out.
Is that good to be driving like that?
Oh, yeah. I was cool.
I think
I'm sort of
understand that part of it.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Anyway, but that was the end of that. I mean, and now I'm back, and my nerves are, you know, wired up all tight.
Mm-hmm.
And then another concern I have is there's a giant rabbit in Holland.
Well, we'd rather fight them there than fight them here.
That's true. 27-pound rabbit from Holland. I'm trying to see exactly where it is right now.
27-pound rabbit.
From Holland. 27-pound rabbit. It's a 2-year-old continental giant rabbit. Is that what it says? It's almost 4 feet.
I'm not a rabbit expert.
And sleeps on a dog's bed because it can't fit into a normal size hutch. He's large. His name is Roberto. Kind of a strange name for a Dutch rabbit when you think about it.
Roberto, yeah.
Roberto is
would be the first name you'd think of.
Is larger than most 3-year-old children.
Wait a minute. He's 27 pounds and he's larger than most 3-year-old children?
Yeah.
That isn't right.
He's 4 feet long.
He's 4 feet long and he weighs 27 pounds?
Yeah.
That seems wrong.
I don't think snapping at me about the rabbit is a good idea. I'm already...
The tone had already been set here 2 or 3 minutes ago.
Although Roberto is believed to be the world's biggest bunny. Guinness World Records said it has stopped listing biggest animal titles out of fear that they may lead to people deliberately overfeeding their pets.
In order to get them in the book?
Yeah. Which is, that's a valid concern.
I think it is.
Yeah. So stop stuffing your weasel, because Guinness people are not going to Continental giant rabbits can live up to 12 years. We've just seen that. With at least 10 years left, Roberto may have a bit of growing to do.
27 pounds.
Yeah.
There are cats that weigh 21 pounds, 20, 21 pounds, house cats.
Yeah.
So a 27 pounds wouldn't be that big.
Well, for a bunny, apparently it is.
Three-year-old kids? I don't know.
Yeah. For a bunny, it apparently is a big bunny. I don't know that too much about this. All I want to say about this is it proves yet again that Jimmy Carter was right. Jimmy Carter was, you know, I think this is the year of redemption for Jimmy Carter, and he's speaking at the convention on Monday. This is the first time he will have spoken at a Democratic National Convention in decades. And it just goes to prove that Jimmy Carter is right, and the rabbits are big and scary, and they're out to get us.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We're going to have our mosquito, I think we're going to have the mosquito jingle contest at 410.
410?
Because he's the plan for today.
See that swell prize we got?
Yes. Well, speaking of the swell prize, and we'll mention what the prize is in just a second, but Bruce and Colin Show robotics editor Jake Mendelson will be on in 3:35 today to talk about iRobot and whether we should be afraid of robots. And then at 410 we'll have the mosquito jingle contest. So if you have written a mosquito jingle, that's when you should call up and sing it to us. And we'll tell you more about that in just a second. And then at 4:40, Jody Rell, the governor of Connecticut, will be on here to declare this official mosquito jingle Flick Don't Squash Day.
She's
going to do a proclamation.
She been told about that yet?
No.
So often happens.
Yeah.
Guests come on and they find out when they're on the air, certain things are going to happen.
I think that would be a nice thing to do. We'll go back to the jingle for a second. The whole idea is that we discovered.
What going to mean?
Well, I discovered that it's not good to squash a mosquito on your skin because there's things inside the mosquito's guts, basically, that are dangerous, and you can force them into your body through the holes that the mosquito's snout has made in your skin.
Mm-hmm.
So you should flick the mosquito away, even though you're tempted to squish it. So, as a public health thing, we are asking people to write jingles for the public health theme, Flick, Don't Squash.
I was sitting at the desk today, and I looked up in one of our fine, actually it wasn't this radio station, but one of the fine sales account executives from one of the other radio stations was standing in the office, and happened to say to me that he had a jingle he wanted to share.
Okay.
And I tried to tell him that since he was an employee here, he couldn't win anything.
Oh, no, actually, that's not true. If you're an employee of the station, you have an even better chance of winning.
Oh, okay, all right. So he said he was going to probably try to call in anyway. And then he gave me a little sample of the jingle. Filthy.
Was filthy?
Just disgusting.
Oh, we don't want dirty jingle.
Filthy. I mean, it was just...
The mosquitoes
I personally
themselves.
Loved it. Don't get me wrong. But it was just disgusting.
Which radio station was this person affiliated with?
I might have been 100.5.
100.5?
Yes.
The snooze people? And they're over there making it. Well, they probably are so bored.
I don't think we need to resort to that.
They're singing horrific songs over and over again. No wonder they have to think up film.
Anyway, so he may be calling. I don't know.
Yeah, that's fine. We don't care. You know what? I don't consider this contest to be bound by the normal rules of the radio station or the laws of America. You know what this contest is like? A Native American tribe. It's like a sovereign nation.
A sovereign nation kind of jingle.
We're free to be unduly influenced.
You know what? I think we should declare ourselves a sovereign nation for 3 hours a day.
Yeah.
Right here, this studio, for 3 hours a day, will become a sovereign nation.
We are the hairy-chested, nut-scratching nutmunks
exactly.
Of radio. And at least for the purposes, we'll just try it, see how it goes with
this contest. Let's set up a damn casino, too, while we're at it.
We'll just see how it goes with this contest. But this contest, you can be somebody's relative. You can be a Tommaso. We don't care. You know, I mean...
As a matter of fact, wouldn't we encourage corruption?
Yes. Whatever. Whatever, but we don't encourage or discourage it. It just kind of, if it happens,
we'll look the other way.
We're just letting life unfold. All right.
I think that's a good attitude. Yeah. I think you should have that kind of attitude pretty much with everything.
Yeah. So anyway, now explain what the size is that you've gotten.
It's a robot.
It's a robot.
Yeah.
What's it called?
I don't know. It's in the
sitting there in this
Robo Sapiens.
Robo Sapiens.
Robo Sapiens.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
I knew what it was called. Robo Sapiens. And
how do you know what it was called?
Because I was looking at it. And it's called Robo Sapiens. And it's a friendly, nice robot. It's almost guaranteed not to hurt your children.
Right. It's similar to the new Bobby Sherwood robot.
Yeah.
Which is coming out soon.
Also guaranteed almost not to hurt your children.
Right. Bore the hell out of you on occasion.
Yeah.
So
we're going to give that robot away, but only for the mosquito jingle. So, yeah. And this is a really good robot, too. This isn't some
exactly
kind of cheesy piece of crap robot like you went over at 100.5.
It's not similar to the cheesy crap that we usually give away here on this show.
This is a pretty good thing. At 100.5, they say a robot that wake you up after you've been listening to the station for a while. That's the only thing the robot actually does. Glorified alarm clock, if you want to know the truth. This robot, you know, you can teach it to read the paper to you or whatever.
It's got it all.
Yeah. So should we talk to Steve? Is this one of the bad Steves?
I don't have no idea.
Bad Steves?
I don't know.
All right.
Let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
Steve?
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you
a good
Steve or a bad Steve?
I'm one of the bad Steves.
Oh, too bad.
But I just wanted to know if your cigar comment at the beginning of the show was about Rush Limbaugh or Bill Clinton.
Rush Limbaugh. Thanks for calling.
Oh, okay. No problem.
Bye. I think it was Actually, I didn't even really feel that way about Rush. But Curry called me and got me all wound up. I was listening to the nice sitar music. I spent a lot of time on days like this trying to cool myself out without using medication. I mean, I could be like Rush, I suppose. I could go out and send my cleaning lady out to score for me. I mean, I could be like that. But instead, what I do is through natural means, like Indian music, and, you know.
Oh, God. Yeah, whatever works.
Yeah.
You know, you get that sitar stuff going. If that does it for you,
playing
that's
with chestnuts
great.
And things like that. Things that time-honored woodland means of calming myself down. And then the phone rings, and I get my mom upset again.
Too bad.
It's a tragedy. Yeah.
Exactly.
Log on to WTIC.com and stay informed. Get all the local news and weather you've learned.
So coming up at 3:35, Jake Middleton is our Bruce and Collins here, robotic editor and a roboticist in his own right. So if you have concerns about robots, you know, we might let Jake take a question or two. So you might be thinking about it, whether you have something you're worried about. If you got a robot in your house, you think it might be about to turn on you.
Yeah, there's not enough stuff to worry about. So let's see if we can gin up some.
Well, you know, one whole thing about robots, maybe we should wait until he gets here to say this. But as Dana was pointing out yesterday, it's like, you know, everybody always thinks the robots are going to have two legs and stuff and be like C-3PO or something like that. But, you know, the robots are going to be, you know, they're going to be like little vacuum cleaners and stuff like that. So there might be robots around you don't even know they're there. And now, did you hear the thing that Prince Charles was talking about, how they're going to do nanotechnology in food?
No.
Prince Charles gave this speech saying that he's worried that there, apparently there's a plan unfolding already to have nanotechnology engineered food. Now we're not talking about genetically engineered food. We're talking about little insy pinsy teensy tiny insy winsy pinsy robots. You know, I mean, isn't that what nanotechnology is?
I think so. Yeah.
Little insy pinsy tiny winsy robots.
As I understand it,
so you're like messing around with little, you know, basically fundamentally mechanical invisible particles that jump around and do things and you can't see them. If I'm wrong about this, I hope somebody will call us.
Wrong?
No. I mean, but anyway, Prince Charles said, you know what? You're going to wind up with another thalidomide kind of thing here because you're going to have the nanotechnology doing stuff to the food and nobody's going to know what it is. And then somebody's going to, you know, eat a cheeseburger or a rutabaga or something. And, you know, horrible stuff's going to happen. And so he was denounced by some members of the scientific establishment in England for saying this. But other people are saying, maybe he's got a point here. I didn't know they were going to do nanotechnology on food. I was not aware of any plan of that kind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it really is, they do this stuff, and I mean, I hate to sound like a crackpot, but I mean, we were never polled about whether we wanted bioengineered food. We never were asked whether we wanted tomatoes that were part sheep or something, you know? I mean, we were never asked whether we wanted any of this stuff to happen. It just happened. You know, there's all this genetically engineered food out there.
The nerve of people.
Yeah, I think there should have been a plebiscite about this. And I certainly think there should be a plebiscite about nanotechnology in the food. I don't know what nanotechnology is, but remember those lifeboat people who were trying to build a spaceship to get off the... Mm-hmm. Well, their big concern was that nanotechnology was going to end the world, because eventually there are going to be these little nanites running around pulling matter apart.
Maybe not as crazy as what some people thought they were.
Yeah, now it turns out our cheeseburgers are going to be full of, you know, creepy little nanites, you know, reducing matter to gray goop, so we have to go live on a different planet. Not to panic people or anything, but, you know.
Yeah. I believe it is.
Well, as a result of this top box office grossing movie, I, Robot, a lot of people are worried that the robots are going to turn on them and attack them and kill them. And so we're bringing aboard our Bruce and Colin Show robotics editor, Jake Mendelson.
To tell people they're going to do exactly that?
Well, no, I think he probably has better news than that. Keep in mind, though, these robots are up there risking their lives for us on Mars all the time and stuff like that. It's not like they don't...
They're earning their keep.
They take one in the chop for us once in a while.
Cut them some slack.
So joining us now is Jake. Hi, Jake.
Yes, hi. The problem is that if robots were planning to take over the world and kill all of you, I would probably be in on the conspiracy.
That's a good
point. So I wouldn't tell you the truth, and so I'd come on and say, naturally, you have nothing to worry about.
Yes, so you feel closer to the robots at this point than you do to us anyway, right?
I could be one of them myself.
Yeah.
Well, I've often been accused of that.
Besides being the Bruce and Colin Show robotics editor, what's the right way to describe you're a roboticist, right?
A very good-looking one.
Yeah, a good-looking roboticist. First of all, have you seen the movie yet?
No.
Yeah, good thinking.
Well, I read the book.
Yeah.
And then I read reviews that said the book and the movie, the only thing they share is a name. So I figured, why bother aggravating myself?
In the book, Isaac Asimov laid out three commandments for robot behavior. Thou shalt not allow harm to come to a human. Thou shalt obey humans. And thou shalt not pee in the shower. No, thou shalt protect thyself. I'm sorry. That's a different one. That's where they made them for me around here.
Could cause rust.
Right.
Yeah.
Are those relevant rules to the world of actual robots, or are robots not sort of...
It's made up. I've had people approach me and think that they're real laws of physics.
Yeah.
It's not. It's just something that was established. In Asimov's story, this was something that they built their robots to adhere to those laws.
Mm-hmm.
But you could just as well build robots not to adhere to them.
But maybe it would be a good thing if you're at Best Buy picking up a robot to see whether it has one of those Isaac Asimov stickers on it. This robot's going to obey you, and it's not going to work.
Asimov inside?
Yeah. Think about that. You know, I'm talking to Jake. There's some money to be made in here somewhere. You know, you could be the guy who certifies the robot, you know, that they're not dangerous.
Well, I think if we're going to patent this thing, we've got to not disclose it publicly.
The Jake Mendelson seal of approval is what I'm saying. How pervasive are robots? I mean, we think about robots, you think about things with two legs and two arms, and it's, you know, C-3PO or something like that. But robots are probably more likely in our lives to be, you know, little tiny things or vacuum cleaner shaped. How prevalent are robots in our lives?
You were absolutely right. You made a comment before the break, and the robots are all around us.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is, the robots that you see in things like AI, that movie, and also iRobot, they probably won't ever happen. And it's not because we couldn't eventually make a robot like that, but it's not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
The robots are a stealth technology. They're around us all the time. We just don't realize it. So take, for example, like a telephone system. You know, it wasn't too long ago that there was a human being switching the phones,
mm-hmm.
plugging and unplugging. When they decided to make that into a robot, they didn't build a humanoid robot to sit there at the switchboard plugging and unplugging things. They built an automatic system.
Mm-hmm.
So the telephone system is a robot. I think probably the best example of where we're going is the movie 2001.
Mm-hmm.
The spaceship didn't have autonomous robots, I mean, just sort of humanoids driving it with a steering wheel.
Mm-hmm.
The spaceship itself was the robot.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening to our homes, our factories, you know, our offices. They're big robots now.
And that robot wanted to kill people, too. I'd like to point that out.
Well, okay. But he was misunderstood.
Okay.
He actually understood where the mission was going.
And right.
It was self-preservation.
Well, it's sort of interesting, too, because we wonder about sort of robots infiltrating our domestic existences. And it seems like, you know, America's really good at making robots to go up to Mars and prowl around up there and stuff like that. But it seems like other countries are doing a better job of of making, you know, robotic, I don't know, vacuum cleaners and things like that, right?
Well, no. I mean, the Roomba, which is probably the most sophisticated robot in the market right now, it's a robot vacuum cleaner, was designed and made in Massachusetts.
Huh. Well, she's my claim to pieces.
So, well, yeah. your claim is still good. Yeah. It's just a bad example.
Okay. Not vacuum cleaners, but I mean, so the domestic applications of the robot.
Well, I mean, everything from cameras to cars. I mean, did you ever try and tune up your car lately?
No.
Back when I was a kid, they had points and plugs and a distributor. Mm-hmm. All that stuff is gone.
Yeah.
It's all a big computer inside now.
What's the difference between a computer and a robot, though? I mean, we seem to be using those terms almost interchangeably at this point.
A computer is something that just sits on your desk and malfunctions.
Mm-hmm.
A robot, it has to, I define it as a machine that does something automatically in response to its environment. In other words, it has to do something physical as to just displaying something up on the screen.
What's the sort of the next leap as far as you're concerned for robots? In other words, I mean, you know, you guys have these contests where robots, people make robots and the robots put out fires and stuff like that. What's the thing that will define the next generation? Where are we going next with robots?
I think actually we're going in two directions at once. We're going bigger, which is bigger systems that do more and more things. So, for example, pretty soon your television set and your refrigerator and your toaster are all going to talk to each other.
Yeah.
And so that when the commercial goes on, the television set will tell that information to the toaster. Toaster will start to make your toast, and then you can run right downstairs and get it during the commercial.
Those are probably going to have nanotechnology in it anyway.
The other side is getting smaller.
Yeah.
And the nanotechnology just means small technology, small mechanics.
Yeah.
But I was up at MIT last week, and they're developing essentially a nanotechnology medicine delivery system in which they put a little microprocessor chip inside of you that the chip itself contains the medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And over a period of months, it distributes the medicine to your body, as opposed to going in, if you're a diabetic, and taking insulin shots and doing other things daily. This little micro robot will take care of it for you.
Is there like a little tiny crew with Raquel Welch and people like that in spraying out all kinds of medicine all over the place? Well, what does Prince Charles mean when he talks about how there's going to be nanotechnology in food?
Well, I don't know. The last time I spoke to him, he rambled on so much about Camilla, I didn't get a chance to talk about that. I don't know. I'll be honest with you, I didn't hear his speech. But maybe they're doing some sort of a processing. If they're trying to separate the wheat from the chaff, they've got little nanorobots that are going to go in and chew up the chaff so you don't have that problem. Listen, like anything else, it can be used for good or evil.
Right.
You know, you can take a car and you can drive somebody to the hospital, or you can take the same car and run over them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the car. It's how we use it.
You know, I would be more, and you're making me feel better about the nanotechnology in the food, particularly if it would like cut down on flatulence in some way. If the little nanorobot could chew up that stuff, you know.
Well, I'm sure they're working on it.
It would be a better world, I think.
But actually, it's a worse situation. Now that I've made you feel better, I'll make you feel worse.
Uh-oh.
Because the problem is, it's not the technology, it's how it's used.
Mm.
And how it's used is decided by people.
Right.
And people make decisions without really thinking about what the consequences are.
Yeah.
I mean, you made a comment once again earlier about you didn't get the vote on genetically modified food.
Right.
And the answer is yes, you did.
I did?
Yeah, because I remember when I was a kid, there was a joke, and the joke was, you know, what's worse than finding a worm in your apple?
Mm.
And the answer is finding half a worm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when was the last time you saw a worm in an apple?
Right.
And the answer is you haven't seen it in 30 years, because we all voted that we don't want worms in our apples by not buying wormy apples. And they disappeared. People stopped making them. And so we voted with our dollars to spray chemicals on the food and to genetically modify the food so that there wouldn't be worms.
Well, this is true, although, you know, I guess the conspiracy nut in me would say, well, nobody was ever really given that choice. In other words, nobody was really said, well, we're going to sell you some apples, and then once in a while they're going to have a worm in them. Or we're going to spray a bunch of stuff, and here's what the stuff is, and here's what the possible side effects of that stuff is, and it's all going to be in this kind of waxy stuff, and you're going to have a hell of a time getting it off the apple.
But
I mean, nobody ever asked anybody about that. They just sort of decided, and then we voted with our pocketbooks, you would say.
Yeah, but this is exactly my point. We make a decision without even asking what the consequences were.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have been a good idea to say, maybe DDT is not good. If it kills worms, how good can it be for us?
You know what my problem with the nanites is, the little tiny nanorobots?
How can you turn them off? You know, what if we want them to study and stop doing whatever they're doing?
No. Listen, you may not be able to.
You can't even find them.
No.
Who knows where they are?
No, you build other little robots to go out and kill them.
Go out and kill them, exactly. I mean, meanwhile, once those robots they kill the bad nanorobots, then you have homicidal little tiny robots out there with nothing to do.
And it's exactly this kind of reasoning that makes me stay under my bed all day long and never come out.
Then you have to get little tiny nanorobot midnight basketball to keep those robots too busy to make any trouble for everybody else.
That's a good
idea. Social program. It's a
cycle. Well, Jake Middleton, that'll be frank with everybody else. Any final words about robots before we have to go?
No. Right. I just have to report to command headquarters about this conversation.
Okay. Well, I basically like them. I want to make peace with them.
Okay.
Bye, Jake.
Bye-bye.
It's Jake Middleton, the Bruce McCollin Show robotics editor.
Wow, that was great.
He really takes all these questions all that seriously somehow.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure if he's giving these questions the full weight of his robotics expertise.
I have to just throw in one quick mention before we go, and I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but tomorrow, the show Sound Off Connecticut.
Yeah.
With Jim Vaisvich.
It's going to be hosted by robots.
Right.
Eric and DJ.
Right.
Yeah.
You did know.
Connecticut, or is it computer talk? I'm limited to the computer talk, but it would still be Sound Off Connecticut.
Which would be Computer Sound Off Connecticut with TJ and Eric.
See, the producer of the show, Mikey C, who appears on HBO as Ali G, he was telling me that it's going to be computer talk. It just happens to be occurring
right.
between
that's
10
what,
and
yeah, yeah, that's what I understood,
we'll
too.
We're out of time.
Although I think we'll just make up whatever we want.
Tomorrow, in the 10 to noon show, instead of the usual 2 hours of hand-wringing neo-Christian militarism, instead of that, we're going to have the geeks, the colorless nerds, Eric and TJ, hosting, we guess, computer. What I don't understand about this whole thing is, okay, so Eric and TJ, who are nerds and geeks, but they're pleasant.
They're good guys.
They're good guys, and they seem to be pacifists and things like that.
Yeah.
Are they supposed to just only talk about computers?
See,
or are they supposed to take calls from, you know, Buddy's audience?
I would have thought it would have been much better.
Yeah.
And much more entertaining if they were to take calls from Buddy's audience.
That's right. Hey, Eric and TJ, is there any way I can use my gateway to fire missiles at Iran? It'd be that kind of thing.
Don't forget that on tape.
Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, so I don't understand. I'm going to tune in, I think, a little bit and just see how things go. Because it seems to me that Buddy's usual audience...
Right, will be calling.
Yeah, I mean, they'll be listening anyway. Whereas Eric and TJ's usual audience...
On Saturdays.
Pathetic nerds who don't know how to make their computers work.
Right.
You know, they're not going to know to listen. So they may have to adjust their approach a little bit. And really, they're going to be talking to people that are going to make them so nostalgic for their Saturday audience that they won't be able to wait for the weekend to come.
Right.
Because they're going to talk to some pretty freaking scary people. All right? Really?
Yeah.
I mean, these are people who have shoulder-mounted rocket-propelled grenades and shouldn't. And they're using them to, like, hunt crows and stuff, you know. That's who's listening to the Buddy Show right now. So,
yeah.
So be afraid. Be very afraid. I mean, really, robots are nothing compared to these people. Anyway, so we've got a lot of fun coming up. When I didn't get to mention this to you, coming up at Sports Side 12, we have a special surprise.
My baby, speak of her with pride. She goes out the way just to make me satisfied. She's my baby.
All right, this is the moment you've all been waiting for. Oh, I couldn't even get that out. This is the moment you've all been waiting for. All right, we're kind of worried that nobody's going to call, but This is the official period of our jingle contest. Now, once again, we're giving away, I can't see who makes it, but it's this terrific robot. It's called Robo Sapiens, a fusion of technology and personality. It has dynamic robots with attitude. It's about 2.5 feet high, maybe, would you say?
It is.
Fluid biomechanical motion. It dances, and it does karate chops, and it throws its own feces.
up there. I don't see that on the box.
Yeah, it does pick up objects and hurl them, though.
Yeah.
Made
apparently by Wow-Wee.
Sort of,
yeah. I don't know what the deal is with that.
This isn't some cheap fly robot, anyway.
No.
In order to win the robot, what you got to do is you have to call up with a jingle, and the jingle is a public health jingle, because we're promoting mosquito safety. We're saying, flick, don't squash, because when you squash the mosquito, funguses and terrible things from the mosquitoes, poopies, go inside you.
Yep.
All right. Here's Joan in her car, our first entry.
All right.
You can work in any musical medium you want. Polka, Asian tea music, Negro spiritual, gay 90s, it doesn't matter.
Right.
In any musical medium.
Joan? Are you there?
Yeah,
hello, Joan.
Go ahead.
Hi. I can't believe I'm doing this, but I'm going to try.
All right.
This is the happy birthday.
All right.
If you don't want to squash and then have to wash, just flip that mosquito with ease and don't get West Nile disease.
That wasn't too bad.
Okay.
That wasn't too bad.
I
had a little trouble with that that high D there.
Sorry, yeah. I had a slight touch of Lyme disease. I'd like to have laryngitis.
All right, Joan, hold on, okay, because we need to get some information from you, just in case you win.
We're going to turn that information over to the authorities.
Right, exactly.
Here's Kathy from East Harlem. I think she called up yesterday, but we're going to do some work on her.
Job. Okay, Kathy?
I'm determined.
All right.
This is to the tune of if you're happy and you know it.
Okay.
Okay. If a skeeter lands upon you, flick it off. If a skeeter lands upon you, flick it off. Don't you smash it because it's icky and could make you very sticky. If a skeeter lands upon you, flick it off.
I like this.
And it's a vast improvement on what you did yesterday.
I've been doing 24 hours of nonstop skeeter song.
Yeah, I think the all-nighter and the drugs and all that stuff, it was worth it. Going into Muscle Shoals to record it was worth every penny.
All right.
All right. Hold on. Hold. We're going to put you on hold.
Get some information.
We'll take one of these other callers. So I think Kathy's in the lead right now.
I'd say absolutely. Right.
I've got some pink paper here on Pick and Score.
I don't know if it really is a fair way to do this, but
it's not based on who's in the lead. Authentic scoring index and stuff like that.
Are we using exit polling?
Do you want me to do that anymore?
Oh, I don't care whether you do it or not.
Okay.
We're making up the rules as we go. No exit polling, though. We can't use that.
Yeah, no exit polling. And but wagering is permitted.
Yeah.
And as we say, feel free to work in any musical medium. The popular songs.
And cheating is encouraged.
Polka, Asian tea music, Negro spiritual, gay 90s, whatever works for you. But it has to be a jingle about mosquito safety. And our numbers, by the way, we think about our numbers. That's one reason we're getting entries. Get rid of Gary. This is tying up a line here anyway. 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC, star WTIC. We have Trish on her cell phone with a jingle.
All right, Trish.
Hi, Colin. How you doing?
Good.
I got the worst voice you'll ever hear, but you ready?
Okay, yep.
Ghost. I'm a sad day, be days like this.
Yeah. Is this part of the song?
Yep.
Okay.
Cause Mama said there'd be days like this, there'd be days like this, Mama said. Mama said, blow your nose, don't pick, blow your nose, don't pick, Mama said. When mosquitoes bite, don't flex or squish, don't flex or squish, Mama said. Mama said, you gotta flick instead, you gotta flick instead, or you'll be dead.
Actually, you know what? I just kind of touched me, actually.
No, it didn't.
Well, I might lose you on my cell phone.
Yeah. But, Trish, I'll never lose you. All right, so so please stay on.
McDonald, she doesn't need to stay on hold. We get the information
already.
We get
the pre-qualified.
Pre-qualified.
All right. So our numbers are 522.
We're pre-qualifying people now.
522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC. Once you can just explain the concept, I was reading an article yesterday about how it's dangerous to squash a mosquito on your skin because people have died because there are things that aren't in the mosquito's snout. It's not in the mosquito's saliva, but it gets in you because you squash the mosquito and you break the mosquito's anal sac open or something, you know. But don't put the words in.
Yeah, try to work that in somehow.
Sack in your jingle, all right? Here's Karen from Bristol.
Karen.
It's flick it, don't squish it, just knock it dead before it has the sense to bite your head.
That's the whole thing?
That's the whole thing, and you can keep repeating it and repeating it.
Do it one more time for us.
Flick it, don't squish it, just knock it dead before it has the chance to bite your head.
You know, I'm sorry for asking this, but is that set to a particular tune, or is
no,
this kind of a
tune of its own?
A strange
she even wrote
Wales
the music. She wrote the music for this too.
Oh yeah, and it sounds kind of Asian too. I like the Asian influence there. It's kind of a there's an anime thing going on there. All right, thanks very much, Karen. We like it.
All right, here's Victor in Bristol. Victor.
Yes. How do you do?
Good.
Great. Want to hear my jingle?
Yes, we do.
Let her rip.
Okay. When mosquitoes bite, please take care. Don't squish them on your arm. Just flick them in the air. Brought to you by Bruce and Colin.
No, you should say, I'm Bruce and Colin, and I support this act.
I was going to say that, but... You know,
all right, that's, sing it one more time for us.
When mosquitoes bite, please take care. Don't squish them on your arm. Just flick them in the air.
That's very beautiful. Is that
Did
Mozart?
You like that?
Did you use the Mozart... I'm a kind of mosquito music.
Well, I kind of go with whatever you guys are playing during the day.
All right. Thanks very much, Victor. Thank you. Thank you. What are you feeling right now?
Awful.
You listen to that. You're feeling I'm thinking Kathy might still be in the lead.
I think so.
Yeah.
I would give Kathy the prize right now if it were to be awarded right this minute.
Yeah.
The beautiful Robo Sapiens, a fusion of technology and personality.
But we have time for one or two more jingles.
Oh, yeah, we do.
522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC, *WTIC. As a matter of fact, because of the spot low, we might have a time like on the other side of the break.
So I think we would,
We'll have to go out at 18, but we may be able to get a couple of jingles on the air here if there are any more. Many of them have been very beautiful.
You know what's going to happen, though?
What?
You know, the governor's coming on with us at 20 minutes to 5 or so.
Yeah.
If she hears this going on now, we don't allow her to be involved in the judging.
Well, that's true.
That can be bad.
She may not, I'm sure she's not listening to this. She's got, it's very difficult to be a governor.
No, I know
it's
that.
It's not easy. I bring this up because apparently one of the things that has occasioned Governor Rell's appearance on our show is that she heard me saying that it's easy to be governor, that it may not be all that difficult.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Because the bureaucracy has, you know, a half-life of plutonium. They've been doing the same stuff over and over again.
It's easier for some governors, perhaps, than others, would you say that?
That's also true. And she's taken over a government that it is in free fall, thanks to a moron boy. So, I mean, it's not... Well, it's true. I mean, there have been easier times to be governor. I mean, virtually every department of the state is dysfunctioning because of idiot boy.
Okay.
Well, that's true. You can go department by department.
Let's turn to
Pete from Woodstock on here, and then we'll go out to our break, and then we may have time for a few more jingles.
Pete?
Hi, Pete.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi.
You ready?
Yeah.
This is Arlo Guthrie.
All right.
I don't want a disease. I just want to flick that mosquito with ease.
Yeah.
I don't want a disease. I just want to flick that mosquito with ease.
And I don't want to
die. I just want to send that skeeter into the sky.
That's pretty good.
There you go.
I like that, Pete. All right. Excellent work. Stay on hold. We may need information about Pete.
No, he's already
He's already pre-qualified. All right. So when did you take our break?
Did I hear the words, "That's pretty good"?
Well, I haven't heard that
lied.
Before. Do you remember that Arlo Guthrie song that he's patterning that on?
No. Sorry.
I don't want a pickle. Just want to ride on my motorcycle. That one?
That's what I don't know about. Bruce and Colin shall return.
Well, according to Bruce, your wife and children came in and cleaned your office up yesterday? You can't do that for yourself? Yeah. That's not the story that I was just told a few seconds ago. That they were in here cleaning your office. That your poor little children were scrubbing away and their eyes
were red-rimmed
from ammonia fumes.
Now we're embellishing.
Well, your sources are wrong. You should go to the source and get it right.
I heard that your wife was overcome with end dust fumes. Is that the way you are around the house, too?
Lisa, you're vacuuming right in front of the television. Johnny Damon is up. Would you move a little to the right?
All right.
Johnny.
Yeah. That's right. We've got a show to do. We can't be discussing the Salahaney house.
We can't be.
Ever been prouder of us. I've never been prouder of us until I've got this.
Right.
I am right now. So we have this public health jingle contest. And the winner gets a Robo Sapiens. It's this great little robot with has awesome sounds and fluid biomechanical motions, and it does karate chops and it throws its own feces.
Yep.
You're going to want to have this little devil around the house. All right.
Great for parties.
We're gonna take three more jingles, and then we're going to pick a winner.
Okay, here we go. The Stanisfield Mass and Joey. Hello, Joey.
Hey, Joey.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Okay, I got you ready, Colin?
Yep.
You told me I fell off the grid of life once, but I'm still here. Okay, here we go.
Yep.
Watching in slow motion as you landed on my arm. At first it didn't matter because you didn't see me no harm. Through my magnifying glasses I saw you suck the blood out of my wrist. Thanks a lot, you stupid mosquito, because now I'm really pissed. You took my life away. And that's it.
Were you in the doo-wop group growing up?
They let me out of the insane asylum for a while.
Yeah, you sound like one of the five rayons. All right. Well, we have the information about you, Joey, and we're turning it over to the FBI.
Right.
Well, I like the fact that he picked that particular song, though. It was not an easy piece of music to work with. All right. Here's
Mary in Southern.
Mary from Southern.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Okay. If mosquito's on your arm, don't you squish it, just you flick it on your arm. Save yourself from mosquito harm. Flick that mosquito on your arm, just you flick it, don't you squish it on your arm.
That's very beautiful.
Oh, gotcha. Thank you.
Yeah. Is this your first professional singing appearance, or have you, do you perform in nightclubs and stuff like that? Or?
Oh, all the time.
All right. That's lovely. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We are about to hear our last jingle entry.
That would be Hank in a car.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Hank.
All right, Tom, you inspired me with the real spiritual idea.
All right.
There we go.
Okay.
Quick now, don't squash the mosquito, or the disease you get might carry you home. Flick now, don't squash the mosquito, or the disease you get may carry you home. That's it.
Thanks very much, Hank. That was wonderful. And certainly, it's almost like having Paul Robeson be alive again. All right. I think we're at the point where we should judge the contest, don't you think?
Yeah.
Okay. What I'm leaning towards is Kathy, who she was the first blood person that you used the if happy if you know it, clap your hands concept, which Mary then picked up. But I think something should be said about Joey. I think some special mention.
I can think of some things to say.
I mean, in terms of an honorable mention or something like that, I think the feces hurling robot should go to Kathy. From East Haddam.
Right.
And plus, you know, they need more excitement in East Haddam because they're losing the good speed and there's nothing to do there and there's just a big stinking power reactor sitting there. And maybe the robot could go into the power reactor once in a while. Somebody's keys are in there, something like that. You don't want to send a person in there.
No, you don't.
So the robot could be helpful to the people of East Haddam. So it would be our gift not only to Kathy for her fine mosquito jingle, but to the people of East Haddam.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something from us to them. We know life is going
hard.
So
it's a double win, public service win.
But I would like to extend my own personal honorable mention to Joey from Sandersfield, Massachusetts. Because working with that particular piece of music, You Take My Breath Away, I believe is what it's called.
Yes.
You know, just not a lot of people would have thought of using that for a mosquito safety public health jingle.
Not many.
No. So I thought, in terms of the creative stretching and stuff like that, I just don't ever want to have to hear that again, whereas I assume with Kathy's song, we'll play it again maybe at the end of the show today or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I don't ever want to hear Joey sing that song again, but I respect him a lot for doing it. So anyway, the winner is
Are
Kathy.
Are you saying it was painful?
It was disturbing. So anyway, the Robo Sapiens feces hurling robot goes to Kathy from East Adam. We'll maybe give her whole name out later on the show.
Okay.
All right, bye.
And she has to come get it, I would assume, huh?
Yeah.
So we're not going to, like, drive it to her house and deliver it?
I don't know. It depends on what kind of information Bobby collected about her. You might be willing to come
what
to her house.
What do you mean by that?
Well, maybe we'll drive out to her house. You never know. It's a slow evening. No, we'd like her to come in here and get it, and that way, and maybe during the time of the show, you know, if she comes and gets during the show, then we can meet her.
Yeah, that'd be good.
That kind of stuff. I mean, we won't actually go out and talk to her, but we'll see her through the glass.
And we'll wave.
Yeah, we don't actually ever go out and talk to any of the listeners. I mean, we have some pretty intense security devices here to keep that from ever happening. Anyway, coming up, something even more exciting than our public health jingle contest, we have the governor of Connecticut, Jody Rell, the first governor ever. Acting governor of Connecticut ever to appear on the Bruce and Collins show.
Yes.
We feel that's a safe thing to say. And perhaps the last.
Mm-hmm. That's just a crying shame.
And joining us now, for the first time ever as a governor, although she did use to consent occasionally in unwise moments to appear with us as a lieutenant governor, and first, certainly the first governor of Connecticut ever to appear on the Bruce and Collins Show.
That's for sure.
It's Governor M. Jody Rell. Welcome to our airwaves.
Thank you. It's nice to be with you.
Well, we're certainly honored to have you as well. What prompted you to do this?
To call you?
Yeah, to be willing to be on our show.
Is there a reason I shouldn't be?
Well, no, I don't know. I mean, you know, the last governor, he was like never on our show.
Well, you know, times have changed.
That's true.
And you have a new governor.
Yeah.
And actually, I came on just to kind of give you a little bit of grief, Colin.
Mm-hmm.
Because I hear that you were telling everybody what an easy job this is, and that it's a piece of cake, and anybody can do it. And, you know, so I kind of just want to give you a little sampling of a day last week.
All right, let's hear about your headaches.
No, it isn't a headache.
No, go ahead and whine. We don't care.
I'm not whining. It's a great job. And mm-hmm. But, you know, you're in the middle of talking about Homeland Security, for example, and then you go from that to maybe an education issue, and then someone comes in who has, some interest and they want to, you know, meet with you and lay out their game plan for how we're going to improve things. And in the middle of all of this, DEP calls and says, we have a moose on the loose.
Right.
And we need help. We need to know whether we, you know, can we tranquilize this moose and can we take it, you know, to some other place. And it's just like, okay. And
right.
People want. I mean, it's not hard. You're right. In that respect. But I have to tell you, it is interesting, and it's just so diverse.
Plus, the moose is down in Old Lyme, you know. You start eating those Sound View donuts, probably going into some kind of coma.
You sound horrible, by the way.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
I'm sorry.
Are
you sick?
Yeah, I had a cold last week, and it's just I'm in the latter stages of it. I'm recuperating. I'm fine. You don't need to call the health commissioner or anything like that.
You're sure?
It's not a state emergency at this point.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you do sound bad. I'm sorry.
Well, thank you so much. You certainly are a caring governor. One option that you don't have on days like the one you just described, when there's problems coming up and people are coming in with, you know, with their sad stories, according to you anyway, one option you don't have that the previous governor had is to say, well, what the hell, we'll bond for it.
So
talk a little bit about this. We're a fantastically indebted state, and you're kind of saying the candy store is closed, right?
Well, you know, there are some things that we simply have to bond for, and you have to look at the overall picture. And the bottom line is there are some things, like school construction, that have really increased our bond indebtedness over the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
We certainly have, you know, major projects that are going on in almost every city in the state of Connecticut. And, you know, the list goes on and on. We have a lot of outstanding issues and areas that we want to make investments.
The new rule of thumb is simply going to be, if it's an economic development package,
you need to have the support of your municipality, i.e. your elected officials, so that you're not coming in and just saying, hey, give us the money to buy this theater, for example, and redo it.
Mm-hmm.
If it's part of your overall plan of development and you need to have one in place, and you have the support, and you have the support of the legislature, then we'll start to move these things forward. But it's you simply have to stop a request here and a request there with no cohesive plan of action. And so that's our mantra. And in fact, I had someone stop me today in New London and said, I want to talk to you about a bond item. And I'm just like, see, you can't say one thing and then do something else.
Yeah.
You've got to be consistent. So
you said, buzz off. Don't you read the papers?
No, I said, first of all, you have to make sure that it is part of your plan of development and that, you know, your support is there in this case, on your side of the aisle, and that your leadership is very much aware of it and you're moving forward in that direction. You can't just come in and say, I need the money. It doesn't work that way.
Is part of this also, I mean, let's be honest, governors, and I'm not restricting this to Governor Rowland, I mean, every governor I've ever known has used bonding as a bargaining chip. And when you want to break arms, you say, all right, you know, you don't do what I tell you to on this bill, your bonding package goes. Or, you know, if you do what I say on this, you know, I can work something out for Helmicky's Landing in Bristol or something like that.
Well, you know, people talk about the bonding as if it were that kind of a tool, but the truth of the matter is that's sort of a passe. It's, you know, the bond package is one thing, and sure, there are some things in there that are special projects for individual legislators, but I think it's more important, many legislators anyway, are focused on those issues and those kinds of programs that are near and dear to their hearts. So it really gets back to the budget, not the bond side. I think
let me ask you about that. I don't mean to interrupt, Governor, but, I mean, you're right. And another part of this is what happens is every year what are called budget implementers, which is there's just a lot of stuff shows up there that's never been through any kind of public hearing process, never been through committee. There's money attached to it. You know, they themselves, the legislators, refer to these things as rats. You know, you're a legislator, you know, all that rats. Would you be willing to also kind of pledge to drop the hammer on all that and just say no more surprises?
I think that we've tried to do that, frankly, in the last couple of years. They always manage to get through at the last minute because that's how the budget is put together. But, you know, people will say, all right, we've agreed to cuts in this area, but we need to make sure that we put more money in this program over here or in this area over here. Will it stop altogether? Colin, I'd love to tell you yes. The answer is no. It simply won't, because at the last minute, legislators will put amendments on, and if they get the support to pass it, they simply can. To veto a budget based on one or two items that may be in there would be a mistake without, you know, looking at the whole picture is what I'm saying. You really do have to have the whole budget picture.
But how about calling them in and reading them the Riot Act about
them? Well, I think I'm not sure that we want to start off. I have a different philosophy. You know, I know you're talking about reading them the Riot Act. I'd rather let them know up front that we're not playing games with this budget. When we start to put something out there, I hope that legislators will be honest and up front and say, hey, look, you know, these are some of the things that are important to me, and if I can get these through the subcommittee, for example, we will be better served. Don't just load it up because you don't have... you know, you don't have the will to stand there and say no, because if you send it out and it's just full of all of these, you know, packed projects or money that really cannot be earmarked or not really be spent, or frankly, there's no money to be had for that program, you're wasting your time and you're wasting the people's time by doing that.
You should consider hiring me as your legislative liaison. And really, I would make the hammer to the fanny on some of these people.
Would you really?
Yeah. $104,000 a year.
Let me just ask on the other vein on that. You say you could put the hammer to them, but, you know, can you get their support as well?
Oh, yeah.
When it's necessary.
I know how to use the honey as well.
Do you believe him, Bruce?
Yes, I do. No, thoroughly.
I want to ask you about one vaguely serious concern that I had. I know that you're trying to make the waters run clean here and kind of, you know, institute a new era. In the midst of all this, we pick up the paper and we read about the settlement in the Rapkin case and the DEP case, which seems to involve paying some money, and part of the settlement is that this woman never talks and never disparages or denigrates any certain officials in the DEP. And, geez, boy, that seems like the old days to me. I mean, can you comment on that? Is that...
Well, the only thing I can comment, of course, is that settlement was reached before I took the oath of office. Mm-hmm. And a settlement is really that. It is between the lawyers and the, you know, the individuals involved in the case. They make what they believe they can live with. And, mm-hmm. and Colin, whether it's this case or a divorce case, mm-hmm. those are settlements that are reached by agreement. And, you know, I could comment on it. I don't think it would be appropriate for me, frankly, on something that I had no part in or was ever asked about in the first place.
Okay, that seems fair. Okay, last question. What are you going to do about Kevin? I mean, he's already going psycho killer on you.
Oh, stop. You know, we have a good working relationship. You know, I was talking to one of the reporters and also the editorial individuals down in New London today. Mm-hmm. People want to start to try to drive a wedge. There's no wedge to be driven right mm-hmm. now. I mean, you know, we're going to have differences of opinions. It is a little bit different because I am a Republican. Mm-hmm. He is a Democrat. We happen to, you know, it's unusual when you have a governor and a lieutenant governor. I think it was 50 years ago that they had... those offices held by different parties. Usually, of course, the governor and the lieutenant governor are elected as a team. So it's a new approach for both of us. We, you know, we're still trying to feel our way as to, you know, how we're going to deal with certain things. I'll give you an example. You know, we talk about budget. Traditionally, the governor and the lieutenant governor and I have sat in on budget planning with the agencies, which will start in earnest at the end of August and run until I present a budget in February of next year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, I mean, somebody would say, well, you know, should the lieutenant governor be sitting in on that? You sat in on them before. Well, there's a little bit of a difference here. We are different parties. And you also have to realize that the lieutenant governor is coming from being president pro tem of the Senate. So it's a new field for him as well. And, you know, and I have to know where we're going to be able to go with that. So we're still trying to, you know, find our way. And but trust me when I tell you, we've always had a good working relationship. You know, we also understand that if we have differences of opinion, we've come already talked about, you know, if I'm angry, I'll tell him.
Yeah.
And the same thing would be true for him.
Settle them the proper way by screaming at each other.
Well, I could do that, too.
Yeah. Let's be honest. He's not just a Democrat. He's Kevin, you know? I mean, you could have lucked out and had, like, Nosferatu as your lieutenant governor. Governor Rell.
Bruce.
Governor Rell, we want to thank you very much. We've already exceeded our allotted time with you, and you are very generous even to give us this much, and we hope we didn't scare you away, and
you
you'll come back.
You didn't scare me. Thanks.
He's like a moose coming back to Old Lyme. We hope you'll come back to our show.
Thank you, sir.
Governor Rell, thank you for being with us.
Bye, gentlemen.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye.
Visit any Fleet branch. Member FDIC.
Bruce and Colin shall return.
I'm so shocked by all this, by the people that I work with.
Yeah,
because not too long ago, you go to a hockey game and you get into some kind of...
I did not get into
brawl with some goon from Wilkes-Barre or something.
Yeah.
And now Bobby, our producer, who's... I mean, he's a reasonably...
No, he's not.
No, he's not even.
He's not reasonably anything.
He's especially insane on the whole subject of wrestling, and he really likes wrestling. So they had a bunch of wrestling thugs and goons at some kind of special pay-per-view whack event. And then Bobby gets into a brawl. He gets into a fight with somebody.
Yes, he does. He really came to blows.
It's
embarrassing because it reflects upon us and the fine quality that we produce
just
every
in the
single
same
day.
Sense that you're ugly
we
and
never...
I feel like I'm the only person in the show. I've got to go to the Civic Center and pick a fight with somebody, obviously, because I'm the only person. I'm going to have to go to, like, Disney on Ice and punch out, like, you know, the candlestick in Beating the Beast or something. I don't even know. I'll have to go to the next event.
Be my guest.
Hey, you. Hey, you, alarm clock. Whatever you are, get over here.
Picture two couples who have...
Okay, I didn't pick out this song. I want everybody to understand. I didn't pick out that song.
What? You didn't?
No, I did not pick out that song. That's Bobby. That's Bobby's little sister sense of humor. All right, we have Alan from Southington with a comment about the Jody Rell.
Yeah. Hey, guys. How are you today?
Good.
Good. I just, my personal opinion is that Jody Rell is spending too much time doing public relations damage control rather than governing the state.
La plus, je ne fume plus, je n'ai même plus d'histoire, je suis sale sans toi.
We find out that Nelly is buying part of the pathetic Carolina Bobcats and Jay-Z on the part of the Nets, and there are a number of franchises that could appropriately be owned by Ludacris. It's time for Sport Atois, the very French sports discussion segment of Ekmisor Anadine, Michel Bruce-Steven, myself, Louis Gascon de la Mer, and special guest, Eduardo Cumming, the artistic director of the Hartford Symphony and our special golf correspondent.
About time we added a little class to this segment, huh?
That's right. Well, so joining us is Eduardo. Are you there?
I'm here. How are you, Colin? Hi, Bruce.
Hi.
And say hello to Arnold Dean himself, the legend.
Arnold.
Hi. Well, it's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Well, it's a great pleasure. Thank you.
So you want to talk a little bit about the British Open. And poor John from Plainville, I don't know what to do with him. He's on there to do his jingle, but the jingle kind of
I think we made
over.
It quite
yeah. Well, he might not
clear.
Have known that that's when that... Let's hear his jingle anyway. Let's be nice.
Hey, guys.
Hi. You're actually too late for the jingle kind.
I know. I was trying to get through, but you know, I guess I got through too late.
But you want to sing your jingle anyway, don't you?
Yeah, I'll just do the jingle.
As an amateur and with no prize in sight. I think that's beautiful. Go ahead.
Yeah. It's the Beverly Hillbillies theme.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Let me tell you the story about the mosquitoes. I learned I could put them on the Bruce and Colin show. And if you don't listen to what they have to say, you might not live to see another day. Fuck you, Bruce and Colin. Y'all come back now. You hear?
I have a question. Were you singing just now?
Yeah, kind of.
All right. Well, thanks very much. That was beautiful. You did a great job. That's the kind of thing I might be doing.
The sincerity there was just dripping,
yeah.
Might I add.
It's the kind of thing I might be doing, like, at the Hartford Symphony that day. I might say, I have a question. Were you just singing? Anyway, we've got time to maybe take one more phone call. Oh, and aren't we lucky Locutus is here? No, you haven't talked to us for a while.
Yeah, I have been calling for a while. So, Colin, so you're taking it. What's this Ray Dunaway song? Was hit shot in the eye with a rubber bullet?
Yes, at our Dave Matthews concert. It's page one of the Hartford Courant today.
Oh, man, what a bunch of brain surgeons you got up there from cops.
Well, you know, once again, what we're trying to do right now is just extend our sympathies to Ray and his family and you know, create a situation where they...
You're going to lose the eye, or...
Well, that is the concern that we have. Anyway, I guess I don't have time for a lengthy conversation with you, but that's obviously the worry we have. And once again, on behalf of everybody who works on this show and the newsroom and stuff like that, to Ray and his family, we extend our sympathies and our best wishes that they can pull through this whole thing.